Artcentric Podcast with Rafi and Klee.
Hola, you amazing artists. It's Rafi.
And Klee.
And today we are going to talk about having your perfect artist day.
What does that look like?
I think that that's what we're talking about, right? I could not remember what the subject was.
Correct.
But essentially, what I wanted to talk about was like how to get yourself set up to how to get yourself set up to have the perfect artistic, creative type day for yourself. And really, this is going to vary, you guys. So like, it's not going to be like, oh, this is how it's not step one. This is how you have a creative day if you're a creative, and this is what it really means to be a creative. Basically, what we're going to talk about is like the mindset on how to get into a place where you could get into your perfect creative day.
What does that look like?
Yeah.
Have you given yourself the space to think about it? What are your best practices? So we have our amazing Rogue fam here with us, and we're going to be reading their comments and best practices and questions and even conundrums possibly.
Yeah, Kelly already said that her perfect artistic day is looking like her not having to go to her gig or day job.
The corporate side hustle.
Yeah, the corporate side hustle.
Definitely. Susan said, I picked a daffodil today and started a painting. Spring.
Oh, Susan, that's awesome. I love that. Yeah, we have a bunch of dandelions growing in our yard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think I've ever painted a dandelion. Thanks for the idea, Susan. I might have to go out there and, like, pick some dandelions and do some paintings.
That'd be so cute.
I've done sunflowers, obviously, but, yeah, no dandelions.
Dandelions are, like, like sunflowers a little bit.
But dandelions are, like, the representation of spring in my mind. Like, when I see dandelions, I know that it's like, all right, spring is coming or spring is here.
Mm-hmm. Valerie said, I can't even tell you how glad I am that you guys are on today.
Oh, thank you, Valerie.
I'm glad you could be here. Best artist day, said Leslie, walk my pug in studio 9 to 11, then travel to shared studio with other artists. Good coffee and fabulous food helps.
That is awesome,
Those
Leslie.
Are all good
That sounds
elements.
Like a great, great artist day.
Kelly's like, more like plan something, and if it happens, woohoo, if not, try again. Kelly, that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had plans for today, but those plans didn't happen, and I wanted to feel like my day was in shambles, honestly, you guys, but I realized that I was still doing creative work. I was doing emotional work today. I was doing shadow work, but that is still part of my creative process.
Yeah, it is part of the creative process, and that's what I want to get into today. Cindy said, I see one of your monsters blowing a seeded dandelion. I do have a design for it's called Making a Wish, from the Me and It series, and it's going to be part of I have a series right now that I'm doing 24 pieces, 24 minis for an exhibition that's going to be happening in September. So I will share that with the Rogues so that you guys could see this painting. I love it. It's one of my favorite Me and It designs
it's
that I have.
It's one of my favorites too.
So I do want to talk about that because it's not as straightforward. Like a lot of misconceptions, one of the misconceptions that a lot of artists have out there when they're thinking about an art career is that like as an artist, you get into studio every single day from like morning until night and this is all you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that's not how it works. You know, the irony is that art is an important part of being an artist, right? Obviously. If you're an artist, it means that you create art. But art is the expression of the journey that the artist is going on. So a lot of times you might get up in the morning and be like, you know, it happens every time that you work on something or that you're dealing with life, right? So like, let's say that you take on a commission. And you are having difficulty with this commission because you're in your head a little bit too much and you're thinking to yourself like, man, I don't know if the person is going to like this. I don't know if this is the right way to go.
I don't know if I'm going fast enough on this.
Yeah, I'm not going fast enough on this, all that stuff. And like that in of itself is this opportunity to really face your own insecurities, because every single one of those things is your insecurities, and really kind of rewriting that narrative for yourself. That's why I think being an artist is one of the most empowering things that we could do for ourselves. And you see that happen. That's why, like, there are people out there that are like trying to make this our career thing work, and they're just kind of going with the flow and, you know, overcoming hurdles and overcoming stuff. And then you see people that like try to do this thing and then they give up, they quit because it gets too hard. And really the reason that it gets too hard is because you're facing your own crap, your own insecurities and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And what a lot of us try to do is when we're met with a negative feeling or a negative thought, a lot of times we think what we're supposed to do is stuff it aside and get to work. And to be honest with you, I spent more time than I'd like to admit doing that. And what happens then is sometimes those negative feelings build and build and build and build and build as you ignore them in the name of productivity. And then a little thing happens and sometimes you powder keg over that little thing.
You powder keg over that little thing. I think it's really important to acknowledge something here because you just said that, is that we try to, a lot of times we, and I know I've been guilty of this, we try to approach our art career the same way that corporate approaches
productivity.
Mm-hmm. Right? So it's almost like, you know, I'll be happy if I get to clock in at this time and like whatever, and then I feel productive. Like I've had a productive day in the studio. And really, a productive day in the studio is just being in the studio. Like that's it. Like even if you're just sitting there staring at a blank canvas and processing your emotions and like thinking about what it is that you're going to create, that's productivity.
Mm-hmm.
So like, but when you get into that place where you bring up all these additional standards to like what it means to be productive, what it means to be an artist, well, I should just, instead of processing what I'm feeling right now, I should just push through it and just work. And you'll hear a lot of people, because that does work. That does work. When I get into studio, I create. Right? When I get into studio, even if I'm feeling emotionally like I'm not there, I create.
Mm-hmm.
By all means, that is a powerful thing to do.
And if you can work out your emotions through the process of creating, that's amazing.
Through the process of creating. A lot of us run into, you know, having creative block and stuff like that because we're too stuck in our heads. We're overthinking things. And then what we'll do is push that feeling aside and just go to work. I think it's much more powerful to like embrace that feeling, get creating, and allow that flow to be that meditative process where you're mm-hmm. second guessing all the chatter that is going on in your head,
mm-hmm.
right? Where you're not just, let me put this to the side because I don't have time for this. You always, the chatter is going to be in your head anyway. So you might as well take that moment, get into flow, and like process the chatter that's in your head. And to me, that's like super productive. Whether you end up creating art or you don't, that to me is super productive.
That's an awesome approach.
Ginny says, that's fun. I'm picking pine cones and dandelions and listening to you right now. I'm grilling veggies and steaks. Ginny, that sounds amazing.
That does sound amazing. Gail Friend said, I have a unique situation. I retired and moved into my sister's, and basically I live in one room. So I live in my studio, so I am set up for every day and artist day.
Gail, that's amazing. That's basically what it was like for us all those years living the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
The apartment, eventually, it started out as one room, the main living room, being the just the studio space. And then eventually pretty much the entire apartment became studio space and storage and then our bed.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much what it was. It was studio, storage, bed, and shipping supplies so that we could ship artwork out. And it's, you know, it's funny because we moved here and now we have like the studio space, we have the media space, we have all these different spaces. And I found that like I have to work on getting used to that because I was used to everything being crammed in one space.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have to like get in that, you know, this is what I've always wanted, was to have these separate spaces. And now it's funny because your insecurities come out no matter what. So I was like, I can't even work in these conditions, you know, like.
Yeah, you have to acclimate to a different way of existing in your creative spaces. And that does take time. Leslie said, thank you both for continuing to share your experiences and positive vibes for the community. Oh, thanks, Leslie.
Thank you, Leslie.
And thank you for being part of the positive vibes of our community. Susan said, dandelions are good for health, so the dandelions in my flower beds get eaten. They are good.
I think we had dandelion soup the other day because my daughter picked some.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's true. So I'm going to jump a little bit because whatever your modus is, I think one of the things that I'm finding for myself is that it is good to have like a plan for your creative days, but it's also really, really good to be flexible with that plan because a lot of our heartache can happen when the plan doesn't go to plan. And instead of feeling like the day is in shambles because the plan didn't go to plan, I'm orienting myself to look more at, okay, well, creating is definitely a big part of the creative process, but there are other factors involved in the creative, because this is a lifestyle and not just a thing you do, right? Then there are other factors involved. So looking at a day like today for myself where I've spent the majority of the day doing some stuff that I had on my planner, but also doing a lot of emotional work because I asked to see what are some of the negative beliefs that might be holding me back right now. And I got shown them repeatedly today.
Today was an interesting day for Klee.
And yeah. Then I forgot through the magic of being human that I had asked for that. And in my forgetting, I slid into a bit of a despair mentality and then was able through meditation and breathing and talking to Rafi to remember that I had asked for that and actually that this was a beautiful opportunity to be with those feelings and not stuff them back down and then feel like I have really grown as a human and a creative going forward. So sometimes that's the work.
I mean, and I know that this might be coming off a little bit touchy-feely or, you know, whatever. There might be some people that listen to it and are like, feelings, can't talk about feelings. But the truth is that, like, a lot of times these things that you're facing, right, the only way to really get through them is to sit with them and allow it to run its course. You know what I mean? Like that's the only way to really make some headway with a lot of these, especially the feelings that you tend to like push down. And as an artist, when we're doing this thing, whether we're creating some work or we're putting ourselves out there or we're wanting to make more money or we're wanting to do anything, you will probably be able to identify those emotions that are trying to keep you small, right? Those things that make you upset, how you might distract yourself because instead of like really thinking about the thing that is going to empower you to move forward and do better in your career, you're distracting yourself by getting angry because that guy over there could just blah, blah, blah. You know, like you basically compare, compete, and criticize. And that right there, yeah, I could tell you, if you're comparing, if you're criticizing or you're competing with anybody else, then you are focused on something that is not going to help you move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, and that's these emotions, these are the things that like show us that stuff. And so like throughout your day, you're going to face stuff. You know what I mean? Like it's not the perfect creative artistic day means that you are prepared for the shit to hit the fan, for things to not go the way that you want them to go, and for things to go beautifully, perfectly right. And
yeah.
And, you know, in all honesty, when those things don't go the way that they go, whether you're stuck in traffic or this or, you know, any kind of thing, you get an email from somebody who wants a commission and you're like, I don't want to do that or anything like that that pops up, you get to really investigate what is going on. Because especially as an artist, we're doing stuff that people out there in the normal world don't typically go through the things, don't self-impose the things that we impose on ourselves. You know, mm-hmm. We are creating stuff and we are putting it out there. We're creating stuff that doesn't fit into any kind of product category. We're creating unique things that are expressions of ourselves and putting it out there. There is nothing that is more vulnerable than that. So like, an artistic journey, an artistic day is basically your championship of vulnerability and getting in the arena. That's really the gist of it.
And being present when you're in the arena, not being distracted by this and that and this and that. And I just wanted to add too, right, that in the process of sitting with your feelings and allowing them to exist and being present, it's not so that you can sit in those feelings forevermore. And I think that's why a lot of us try to avoid the negative feelings. It's so that you can sit with it and allow it to express and then be able to let it go and even take it a step further and be like, so what is the muscle that I'm building here? Like, what's the truth of it? What's the strength that I'm reaching for through this situation? Or what's the superpower that's being born inside of me because I'm feeling these really strong feelings?
I mean, that's really where it's at. It's like you want to have artistic superpowers, you want to have creative superpowers, you want to have human superpowers, then, you know, really allow yourself to feel what you're feeling and work through it, because mm-hmm. that's the beauty, that's the opportunity that we have. You know, it's hard to really have the opportunity to do that when you are in a corporate environment, right? A lot of environments in the world right now don't really foster that.
We're moving towards that, I hope, I feel.
Hopefully, but like at this point in time, it doesn't really foster that, you know? Yeah. And really, the thing is, when it comes to your creative day, it's allowing room for that, giving yourself the space to be able to have that and see that as productive and amazing and awesome and all that stuff.
And not a waste of time and not a pity party.
Like, I wasted my time, like, feeling more empowered, you know, like.
I wasted my time being present with myself.
Yeah.
Valerie said feelings are so important to acknowledge. Cindy said feelings are a big part of creating. They really are. Yeah. Kelly said, my studio is 10 by 24 and I sit in my chair and I wheel to whatever I want to work on. Very convenient for Fachunkin.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely, exactly. Kelly.
Rachel said, today was a pretty close to perfect artistic day. I'm working on a piece sponsored by my town. Congratulations. And I'm nearing the end of it and I'm so pleased with how it's going. I love that.
That is
I
amazing.
I love that.
So I would say also, you know, like really, because the plan is very flexible for me personally right now, I would say my idea of having a perfect creative day is to do something early on in the day that's going to give myself the best chance of having like the best creative day possible. And a lot of times that just looks like today I went and while I was waiting for coffee to make, I went outside and I stood in the sun. There's like a patch of yard where the sun was hitting and I just stood with my face facing the sun and then went back in to check the coffee. And or it might look like just sitting quietly, you know, doing a meditation, centering yourself so that you can be present and very adaptable to whatever the creative day has in store.
Yeah. For me, I think that my perfect day looks like this. I always have plans to work on something creative, right? And, you know, and then there's other things like, all right, I want to check emails. I got some emails last night. I want to respond, you know, because there's an event that somebody's wanting to invite me to or like whatever. So I'll check my emails. And then I have these plans to get into the studio. I have plans to maybe work on my book, have plans to work on something, some kind of creative project. And then I take my baseline every single moment, right? And I see where I'm at, you know, like, am I in a good place? You know, because a lot of times what happens is like, so my day, my perfect day is kind of fluid. It changes, you know, from day to day, because honestly, I can't predict what my perfect day will look like tomorrow. I know for sure that I want to get up in the morning. I want to feel good. I want to sit and clear my mind and, you know, silence my mind, do my meditation. I want to feel really good. I want to feel love towards the world. I want to feel excited about the projects that I'm working on, whether it's artwork or videos or whatever it is that I'm working on, right? So I want to get my mindset straight and where I want it to be. And then, you know, depending on what life throws at me, then I basically, as long as I'm in that place or I find time to put myself in that place, then I could course correct. You know, I could course correct and maybe just look at my planner and be like, all right, well, I'll get into studio tomorrow. You know, and I could tell you right now that in the past few years, that wasn't okay. And then I would sit there and punish myself. And you guys know, if you're listening to this, that like we had to take a break from everything because I literally was finding myself burning out every other week. Right. And so it was like, you know, finally getting to a place where it was like, all right, we gotta look and see what's going on here. And what was really going on was that it wasn't even the amount of things that were on my plate, right? Because it's easy to say, like, there were so many things on my plate and that's why I burned out. What it was the constant failure, feelings of failure at the end of the day, because no matter what I did or what I accomplished, it was just never enough, right? It just never felt like it was enough. And so you should have moved quicker on this commission. You should have said yes to this. You should have like never accepted this. You don't have enough time to do this. You should have never promised that you're going to release a book at this time. You should have blah, 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 blah. And it was always like just walking around feeling like I had failed in everything that I was doing. You could have done that video better. You didn't have enough time to, you know, like everything for the artwork, that painting, the face doesn't look right. You know, and everything was just negative. So basically what I did was I oriented my mind to constantly look for where I was failing without right. even realizing that that's what I was doing. But I oriented my mind to constantly look for where I was failing. And the truth is there are, you know, you have billions of bits of information coming in all the time. And really, you're only going to see the things that you orient your mind to see. And so it gets to the point where it starts to become all encompassing. And then everything just feels like a failure and everything feels like it's falling apart. And in realizing that, I was like, dude, no matter what I did, I was always going to end up burning out anyway. Mm-hmm. I was always going to end up burning out anyway. And getting to that place where, you know, luckily we did recognize that and took this break and just getting to a place where it's like, I'm going to rewrite my mindset. Like, I definitely don't want to go around in life and constantly be focused on everything that I'm failing at.
And to an extreme, if you don't think it can be an extreme, like, just think about, I think about how we have actually, in our not aware moments, we have turned a win into a failure. Like, because you can find a way to do that if you're oriented in that way. And so it really is stepping back from that and being like, why am I constantly looking for what I did wrong or what's wrong with me or what went wrong?
It's ridiculous. And we get so used to doing it that we think that that's just the way it is. Like, that's how we think it is. Not realizing that we kind of like put ourselves in that position. Mm-hmm. Tyler says, I definitely struggle with negative emotions, especially when plans suddenly change. I'm working on trying to think positive or ride the emotions and rationalize them. Yeah. Yeah. Cause a lot of it, that's really great, Tyler, because it really is getting to that place where it's remembering that the story that you apply to anything that is happening in life is really ultimately where those emotions come from. Right. So, for example, let's say that you apply for a group show, a gallery show, and you really want to get into this show. Right. And then you get rejected. The simple matter is you apply to a show for whatever reason, you got rejected and that's it. What do you do? Well, I'll apply for the next one. Right. No big deal. Now enter the story. Well, I probably got rejected because they're uppity. I probably got rejected because my artwork's not any good. I probably got rejected and blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't matter what the words are that come out of your mouth. Essentially, what you're saying is I got rejected because I'm not good enough. I'm not worth it. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. And then you turn that rejection into this horrible thing that now is not just this event in time that is past and now you get to move forward. it becomes this constant reminder in your head that you relive over and over and over and over. And now you're telling this story of this horrible thing. And every time you tell that story, you're basically creating that pattern of engagement with your life, you know? And that's really the thing. And then you start to look for all the places that show you that you're not good enough and you're not worthy and you can't, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it sneaks in there, but taking notice of it, you know, becoming aware of it and being like, oh, okay, you know what? This is just, it's just a thought. It's really hard to get to a place where you're like, it's just a thought. But in reality, that's usually what it is. It's just a thought.
And I think one of the mechanisms is, because Zero is like, yeah, the brain's kind of hardwired for problem solving and survival. And it's true. Basically, what you're doing with all that negative thinking is trying to protect yourself. And our mind, if you don't give it airtime, if you stuff it down or just cover it up with something, then it'll just yell louder and louder and louder in this repetitive way. And so part of the process of sitting with it is like, let it have its airtime. That'll often take the emotional charge out of it. Even just like being able to say it, like, okay, I'm feeling like a victim right now. Like, yeah. Just being able to say it, or I think I'm in trouble because I got this email and I'm telling this story around it, is taking that emotional charge out of it. It's actually allowing your mind to quiet down because it is trying to protect you. It's like, let it have its time and then it can resolve.
And that's where meditation is a great thing. And here's to like get rid of the stigma of meditation. Meditation could be going for a walk and just listening to the sounds of nature, right? Meditation could be sitting and breathing, you know, doing a mantra. You could do, you know, there's all different types of meditation that you could do. But, you know, sitting on your front porch and just people watching.
Or bird watching.
Bird watching. Sitting out there with a notepad and just really, really focused on one thing that you're sketching, doing urban sketching, mm-hmm. things like that. Like that really is the ability to just kind of quiet your mind and really ultimately, because here's the misconception. The misconception is that you meditate and then you have zero thoughts. That's not going to happen.
No.
I'm sorry, you guys. You are always, your brain, you're always going to have chatter. The thing about it, when you get into a state of a meditative state, it's the chatter is there and you're just not paying attention to it.
Or you're just observing it, but you're also understanding that it is just a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barbara said, I'm right in the middle of what you both are discussing. Transition phase, outgrown old life, new life is unfolding, scary, but awesome. Bringing up a lot of stuff.
Oh, it brings up a lot of stuff.
And Barbara also said, yeah, my perfect creative day is fluid, constantly ebbing and flowing depending on mood and energy level, focusing on letting myself play in some form and explore.
Play. That's what we do. And it's remembering that, like, you know, you got to tap into that inner child because that's where the purity of your creation is.
Yes. Diane said, I decided to take this week to work on my self-care, self-image, and health. I want to fill my cup so I can really create and be open to new possibilities instead of just trying to survive the day.
That's the biggest mm-hmm. thing, Diane, that the reason that we took the hiatus, because I realized, and I talked about it a little bit in the last video that I posted on YouTube, where I started to realize that I got into survival mode. Mm-hmm. And as much as I want to give, I was so focused on everything that was not going the way that I wanted it to go. So focused on money and the lack thereof and all that stuff that everything got laced with this tiny little hint of desperation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I hate admitting it, but like it just I was instead of giving, which is what I've always loved doing, I love giving and I was giving, but there was a catch to it, just a tiny little unspoken catch to it,
like
a tinge of a catch to it, where it's like, okay, well, I'm giving you all this stuff, you know, why am I not, you know, like that kind of thing, and getting into a victim. And I could tell you right now that it was just from that mindset everything that I had built up in me that was so powerful in creating this art career started to downward spiral, and things started to unravel. And I am very, very thankful that I'm in a position that I'm able to put myself back into that mm-hmm. place.
And I would love to interject here. I think that is beautiful that you've recognized that. And I think it's funny now, this thought that I had, but when I first had this thought, it didn't feel funny to me. One of the thoughts that came up for me when we did take our break and start looking inward and looking at our motives and our feelings and all that stuff, my mind was like, how long do you think that it will be acceptable for you to be like focused on you? Like before you go back to the hustle and the productivity and life as we know it. And that was a really scary thought actually, for me, because I was like, this is a special hiatus, but at the same time, like I have no intention of going back to the kind of living that burned me out in the first place. Rafi's adjusting the blinds there. So in recognizing that also in doing this work, I have no intention of going back to the way of thinking and the way of being that created the problem in the first place. So this is also a long-term thing. And my own mind was very resistant to that idea. And was like, it's unacceptable to be like working at this pace, to be existing in this way long term, you know? So it was coming up against that too. Like, this is a real cute, like little self-development thing you're doing, but, you know, a month is about as long as you can afford to do that for. And after that, you gotta hustle to make up for it. And the truth is that no, that's just a story too.
It's a very corporate mentality type yeah. way of thinking. You know, it's funny because we kind of we've applied that to everything. Zara asked, like resentment sort of? Yeah, Zara, that's what I was talking about. Like essentially it was weird. It was like these feelings that had never been there before started to surface, you know? So here I am, I'm posting all these videos and, you know, I post a link to a book and only 10 people, you know, like this weird expectation of like, I'm so great because I'm doing the almost like, it's hard to explain because it gets so tied into your own self-worth and self-value that like you get lost in that shuffle. And then you start having emotions that have nothing to do with what you're actually doing. But yeah, a lot of that stuff, you know, there was like resentment, there was feeling bad, there was all kinds of things that would sneak up to the surface. But yeah, getting back on that point, like it's when you start really doing this, it's realizing like, just like being an artist, this is a lifestyle, mm-hmm. you know, it's not like I'm going to do this thing for a month and then we'll see where we get to, you know, like, let's see what the results are in a month. And it's like, no, you gotta, this is how we were when we started our art career. Like, this is the place that we were in, was understanding full well that like our entire art career was a way to really get in tune with ourselves and who we are. And especially because you're creating art and then you're putting it out there. So not only are you expressing yourself, creating these things that are you, but now you are expressing them to others and putting them out there. And a lot of that stuff that goes on the inside really has a lot to do with how you interact with the world.
And that has to do with how you see yourself and who you are in the world.
Yeah.
A friend a long time ago said to me something pretty weird. I don't know if it was meant as a compliment or an insult. But she said, I don't know why you're so broke all the time. I was in my early 20s at the time. I don't know how you could be so broke. If I had a fraction of your talent, I would be a millionaire. And I actually used that to feel really bad about myself. Like, I have these talents and I'm just not motivated enough, or I'm not, like, it's about what you do. And I later in life, I think, like, no, you wouldn't be a millionaire if you were me, because I have a lot of emotional stuff that I have to work through, including that no matter what I do, I'm only ever just getting by. I'm eking by, right? That's a belief that shapes how I be in the world. And so it's realizing that, like, that stuff, that conversation that's going on, like, there's only so much you can do before you kind of have to look inside and see how you be in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And what you think of yourself.
Barbara says, love how you both dive deep into sex. Beep. Okay. Love how you both dive deep into self-exploration, hone in on what needs processing and reframing, and then go.
Let go of the stories. / transform them into a thing of growth and beauty, inspiring. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Barbara. Yeah, it's always a work in progress. I mean, and that's the thing, like, from the very beginning, this is the way that we viewed our career, was like getting into that the nitty gritty of it, because I also understood for the longest time I wanted to be an artist, you know, kind of going back to the story that you said about your friend and what they said. I wanted to be an artist, and I had the same people approaching like, oh, if I had half the talent that you did, I would be a millionaire. I would be making all this money,
yeah,
and all this stuff. And like, you know, I look at that, and there were so many things that I wasn't willing to face. I wasn't willing to face my fears. I wasn't willing to push outside of my comfort zones. I wasn't willing to do all these things that were different. I was expecting different results doing the same damn things that I was doing to keep myself small. And that's the biggest thing. Whenever you see me go into a rant, it's because I think about those moments where it's like you're using your own insecurities almost as a badge to justify keeping yourself small. And I did that for so many years, you guys, so many years. And the moment that I started pushing through comfort zones and started to rewrite my story, my life changed. Like, changed, right? This story that I was telling no longer worked for me, so I needed a new story. And that meant putting myself in situations that terrified the crap out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and a lot of times we don't want to do that because it's scary. It's scary. And so, like, it's better to just kind of go with the flow and believe the stuff that makes you feel small and feel bad about it. But in actuality, it's just an indicator that, like, hey, man, you've got this whack belief system that's
really keeping you from. And I wanted to add too that, like, the reason, a lot of the reason for doing the things that scare you, it's because it's not really necessarily about the doing. It is about the doing, but it's also in part, like, in doing those things, you get to face all the emotional garbage that's going to come up as a result of having to do this thing.
Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest things, taking a commission.
Yes.
You're going to have fears come up. Entering an art competition. You're going to have fears coming up. Showing your art for the first time at a festival or market. You're going to have fears coming up. Approaching a gallery. You're going to have fears coming up. All of these things are terrifying. And, you know, they're going to pull up all kinds of insecurities and stuff that you have inside of you. And it's the perfect opportunity to take a look at those and be like, all right, what kind of whack stuff have I been believing that is causing me to be so terrified of this thing,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Marty said, actually, before I move on, commissions is a great example. And any kind of conflict or perceived conflict can be an indicator. I realized in a powerful way today that I think somewhere deep down, I think I'm in trouble all the time. Like, my inner critic is constantly like, you're in trouble. You're not fast enough. You don't communicate often enough. So something small, like a short innocuous email comes in asking me a question and I assume I'm in trouble and I get angry. Right. And I'm like, get off my case. People are this and
you're,
this and that.
You're in trouble because you've taken too long on this commission and and like then it's attached to all the other things that you know, and it's that story. You attach it to a story. It's kind of like what Leslie is saying here. Leslie says, great discussion. I get limited likes, etc. on social media And after some self-reflection, I no longer seek approval from these platforms. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, you know, like you get one or two likes. That still happens to me. I post something on social media and I get, you know, at this point, like I'm getting like, you know, an average of like 150 likes, which is a lot. I would have never pictured that I'd be getting as many likes on anything. But then I'll get like 35 likes and I'm like, what happened?
Right.
You know, and then there's this like series of things, these stories that pop up into your head, right? What happened? Was it the thing that I posted? Maybe people don't like me anymore. Maybe people aren't seeing this because this platform is rigged and blah, 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 blah. And then I get, you know, get angry at the platform. And then I'm like, people just don't care anymore. You know, maybe blah, blah, blah. And then there's all these stories and the reality of what actually happened was I posted a thing. Some people liked it. Big deal. Move on.
True story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Marty said, I always thought the perfect day was a long span of time, but I get a lot done with focused spurts flowing in and out in the day with domestic or side gig job. Also starting earlier when my energy equals best.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that, Marty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Knowing what workflow, like just going back to the creative process, right? Knowing what does work best for you and also knowing that that might change. And playing to your strengths is definitely a key. Our neighbor would say, you know, like my creativity always came first. So I always set myself up where I could do creative work in the morning. And then my corporate hustle job got whatever energy I had left after I did my creative work. And so it is doing what you can to play to your strengths, too.
Yeah.
Diane said, I found this profound quote. If you spend your time chasing butterflies, they'll fly away. But if you spend your time making a beautiful garden, the butterflies will come to you.
I love that. That's perfect.
You know, that is really, really good way to say that.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a really, man, there's a lot there in that quote. If you just sit with it, I'm going to keep that in my mental garden. Cameron said, I don't know too many people who aren't broke. The society that we, yeah. And it's really, really
technically, if everyone's broke, then doesn't that mean that no one's broke?
I mean, yeah, as far as like the baseline of like brokenness,
we could all just be like, we're rich.
That was a narrative that I was swept up in this morning as part of my emotional shadow work, was just feeling like really despair about the way we have society set up and feeling helpless in that place and working my way through that back to.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, we have every bill in the world hitting us this month. And so like this is part of the video that I posted on Patreon today was that it was like, okay, you know, yeah, my ear is plugged up. It hurts. I am feeling a little low energy, all this stuff. And on top of that, there's all this money that is going out and we have no, you know, and it's like feeling broke. The worst thing that you could do to yourself is feel broke, you know, and it's even in the statement, like feeling broke.
I know that word has a lot of emotional charge.
Yeah.
To it.
And you got to think about it. Like that's the word that we use to describe ourselves, how we feel. It's the same as broken. It's right. Like we're feeling broke. We're feeling this. So like I, you know, in that process of doing that, it's like rewriting that narrative and just being like, you know what? I'm not going to allow myself to feel anything that even is remotely like broke. Like, I might not have any money. Then you know what? You know how I feel? I feel defiant.
Indignant. Indignant.
Try and collect this money right now. You know, like see what's going to happen. That's where it's like whatever I could do to make myself feel more empowered in that moment. Because the problem is that when it comes to money, that money is kind of intertwined with everything, you guys. And that's why money is one of the biggest frustrators for a lot of people that are doing this art career thing, especially when they're chasing the money, because money gets intertwined into your self-worth, the hierarchy of you and your family, where you are positioned in the world, all this stuff, right? The system is kind of based on this whole hierarchy of money and what your self-worth is based on the monetary value of what you bring to the world. And it's like, that is totally off. That whole system is just bunk. So when I am going through stuff like today where I'm looking at money and I'm like, ah, shit, like, you know, this is going to be hard. This is going to be a hard month. Is like just kind of rising up above the noise, all that noise of all that crap, all that societal crap that comes in that makes you want to repeat the words, I am broke, basically saying that I am broken because I don't have money. That's a complete bag of bull.
Mm-hmm.
Bag of bull.
Indignance for me today looked like, okay, there's a couple things that I know to be true. One is that I am not going to worry my way into a lucrative stream of revenue. It's never happened and it never will happen. You're not going to worry yourself into financial relief and
worry yourself to a better life.
Yeah. And the second thing is that it's always worked out so far. So my best feeling relief thought was like, I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of other feelings came up and I sat with those too. Marty said, meditating, see, I dream small, even my painting small and taking very baby biz steps, not sure, picture ahead. So I'm setting aside time to dream big if I lived one more year.
That's good, Marty. And you know what? Taking baby steps is absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. Taking baby steps is fine. But I think that when it comes down to it, it's like we have this amazing imagination. We have this amazing imagination that has the complete ability to drive our emotions and our feelings. And a lot of times we don't use it. Like we can use it to basically picture and feel anything that we want in the world. And a lot of times we're afraid to think too big. And that's very much attached to like, don't get your hopes up. You know, and it's not about getting your hopes up. It's about allowing yourself to feel that. To feel like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go big. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to, you know, feel what would that feel like? Because I want to experience that, not having the expectation, you know, it doesn't matter if it happens or not. You're just feeling that because you're going to allow yourself to feel that way. And I think that we all deserve to be able to allow ourselves to feel that way. And really that gets those, you know, those billions of bits of information that your conscious mind doesn't process, you start seeing opportunities and things that line up more with, you know, with what you're thinking, mm-hmm. where your mind is.
Cindy said, I had this strange belief that once I got through my fear of sharing my art, that I wouldn't have any fear again. I learned from both of you that the fear doesn't go away. It was a light bulb moment.
Isn't that hilarious? Like, it just keeps happening, right? Because, like, here we are having this conversation about feelings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been doing this for over a decade and have experienced so much in that time. You would think with everything, with all the ways that we've put ourselves out there, you would think that there would be zero insecurities, zero anything, right? Like, we are on YouTube. We're doing well on YouTube. We have a popular podcast. My art is hanging all over the world. Your jewelry is all over the place. We've been interviewed in magazines, on TV, on newspapers, like all this stuff. There's a demand for us to do workshops and things like that. And, you know, I'm not going to sit there and pretend like we've got it all figured out, because like fear just, there are so many layers to that.
Yeah.
So many layers to that.
I just had the thought just now that your fear, it evolves with you, and that's amazing because it shows you where you're about to score major achievement points in your life. It shows
like,
you
ching,
where,
ching, ching.
Yeah, it shows you where you're about to level up to. So your fears keep evolving, and you literally can, and I'm saying this from experience, you can get to a place where when you are afraid, you're stoked about it. Because you know that right over that edge,
growth is coming.
You're about to unlock a major achievement for yourself. And I mean one of these achievements inside yourself. Or when the negative stuff comes up, you're actually enjoying the process of sitting with it because you know that amazing revelations are about to happen within yourself.
Yeah. Valorf said, the bots can find social media. The bots can find me, but not real people. Well, at least the bots are finding you. Send them a bunch of love.
Cass said, my biggest fear now is working for the man. Rafi, Klee, a bunch of rogues, and my dad helped me realize who I needed to be. Love you guys.
Oh, we love you too, Cass. You are a champion.
Yeah, you are. Diane said, I think we have been brainwashed by social media marketers who teach us to focus on posting schedules, likes, follows, and all the other analytics. So if we work really hard on something and nobody likes, then we think we failed at our marketing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All those analytics, all those things, they follow a corporate structure of like, this means this, this means that. And you're following all these analytics and stuff. And really, at the end of the day, you don't know. You don't know what's going to hit and when it's going to hit. And all you could really do is just focus on what it is that you're giving and why it is that you're giving to yourself by doing this thing. If you're doing social media or you're doing YouTube or you're doing art or you're doing anything because you're expecting to get something out of it other than what you can give yourself using it, right? If you're expecting to get validation or likes or money or this out of it, then, you know, be prepared for disappointment. Be prepared for discouragement. Be prepared to be run through the coals because it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You got to find your why, and your why cannot have anything to do with anything that you're getting, you know, and that was a lesson that I learned in the very beginning of us doing this. We mm-hmm. learned it the hard way. And then really learned it and then forgot it.
It can happen. It can happen.
And then forgot it and then was trying to figure out why isn't anything working? You know, like, but that's the truth of it. Like you cannot allow yourself. You're already going to be pulled by your own emotions. You can't allow yourself to be pulled by likes, validations. Mm-hmm. Oh, money over here. Oh, these people appreciate me. Oh, these don't. Like, then you're being pulled in too many different directions, and you really, really got to stay your course. And your course has to be you giving yourself validation, you giving yourself the self-worth, you giving yourself the motivation to keep going.
Yeah.
Like, that's really where your power lies.
And also, I just want to take this moment to say, too, like, if as you're doing your internal work and you're putting your creativity out into the world and you're learning that the validation and everything that you need comes from here, and if you have to get a corporate side hustle or keep your corporate side hustle a little while longer in order to keep the desperation toxicity away from your art process, then that's not failing either. Because yeah. I think so many people think that they're failing at their creativity because they haven't been able to leave their corporate side hustle yet, or they're having to pick up a corporate side hustle. And that doesn't make you a failure. Honestly, even now at this point in my career, I'm like, if I had to pick up a side gig to keep that desperation mentality out of my creative process, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
Because I care that much about my creative process that I don't want to bring that survival mode into it.
Diane said, I love the phrase you used in the Patreon post. It is what it is. That's my favorite saying. Yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
You know, what am I going to do right now? It is what it is. Tyler, thank you. Hydrogen peroxide for my ear, 2 to 3 drops. Thank you, Tyler. I appreciate that.
So, I know we're getting to the end of this. And so for me, so I just wanted to say, like, I think for me, the elements of a perfect creative day are, being present. I think being present, actually, I've discovered is the most like potent element for me of like whatever's going on. This mode that I used to exist in where I was just on autopilot and distracted all the time sucked. There's no better word for it. So being present with my crap feelings, being present with my art that I'm creating, being present with my person, being present with all of it is like the key component for me of having a beautiful creative day. Being able to go with the flow, and also emotionally gratifying food and self-care are components of a beautiful creative day for me as well. Good music that enriches my experience, all of those things. And whether I created a lot or a little, or I shared a lot or a little, I think that, and also looking for the win every day, no matter what happened. My win today was that I sat with my crap feelings and worked through a lot of them and then got to have this really cool discussion. So, yeah, those are my things for the perfect artist day.
I think for me, honestly, the perfect artist day, the perfect artist day is every day. The idea, and really, like, bear with me here, because every single day you're essentially creating your life, right? So no matter what your day entails, whether it entails getting into the studio or taking a walk or doing some kind of like side hustle or something like that, I think the perfect day is the day where I set an intention and that my intention is more along the lines of like, let's see what awesomeness I could do with this journey that I have today. It's like the appreciation of the fact that like I am breathing and I am alive and I'm going to make the most of this no matter what comes at me. And, you know, I have noticed that days where I am in that place where I'm like everything, even the difficulties are an opportunity for me to show myself who I am in this moment, for me to show myself, you know what? Like I said today in the video that I posted on Patreon, like it is what it is. You know, what is the best version of me in this moment? And the best version of me in this moment might be somebody that gets in the studio and like knocks out like some awesomeness or works through whatever. But like really at the end of the day, it's like my perfect creative day is a day where I take hold of the canvas that is my life and decide how it is that I'm going to live that day. And that's my perfect creative day where I understand that the creativity is not just what I do in the studio, but everything that I do, every moment is what matters.
Yeah. Nicely said.
Thank you.
Nicely said. Valerie said, that's how I've been feeling when I feel desperate to create when I have free time and that's not healthy. Christine said, exactly what I'm trying to do with my side gig, develop my art in the absence of desperation.
Yes, exactly, Christine.
Diane said, my perfect artist day would be a day when I am engrossed in the magic of creating, really hearing the birds and feeling alive. My own saying is, right now, in this moment, I am okay. Yes.
Boom, that's good. I actually have that as part of my meditation. Is like, can you acknowledge, I'll ask myself this question. Can you acknowledge that right now, in this moment, you are safe, you are loved, and you are whole?
Mm-hmm.
Right? In this moment, I am safe, I am loved, I am whole. I could add to it, I am fed, I am good, you know? And in that moment, because in this moment right now, when you experience this moment, you realize like all these things that I'm so desperate to get, I've got them. I'm good. You know, and it's such a different vibe from being in that survival mode place where you're constantly looking at the problems that may arise in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it feels, yeah.
It feels timeless, and that's good.
I'm not sure what Gail. Yeah.
Let's see. Diane said, you never know where opportunities come from. I've had two things come out of the blue from things that were posted in the past. Totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Barbara said, I have a quote on my refrigerator for more than 20 years. It's not the thing you fear that has power over you. It's the fear itself. At the root of the fear is a story or a limited belief. Shadow work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Marty said, great conversation. We're not alone. Doodling in our individual studios. Remember. It's true.
Doodling in our individual studios. Yeah, I love that. I love that because we are not alone.
It's true. Yep. Zara's like, yeah, I woke up. It's already a win. Yep. And that is a great way to kick off the day.
Gail said, sorry, my cat's walking on the keyboard.
Aww. Your cat was like.
That's adorable.
Love it.
Well, I think that that's a good place to end it. Thank you guys so much for having this awesome conversation with us. Yeah, it's funny because I knew that like the idea behind what is your perfect day, you know, it's like first you're going to want to get into studio and you're going to want to do this thing. And like that's just not our jam. That's not where we are. It's like I want to know what the actual perfect day is. I don't want you to tell me what to do. Like, I want to know, what are the feelings behind it? How am I to get it? How am I actually going to get there? What's the roadblocks that I'm going to face? And I feel like that's what we talked about here. And this is, you know, this is really at the core of it. Like, you know, it's your mindset. Like, whatever you decide is your perfect day is your perfect day. And no one can take that away from you. So yeah. Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you, Rogues, for your awesome comments. You guys are just amazing. You make these podcasts so much fun, so much more insightful.
Definitely.
And for everybody listening to this, thank you so much for being here. And if you like this and you'd like to follow us or subscribe, I don't know what platform you're on, just go ahead and follow or hit the subscribe button. And we're going to be trying to do this once a week. We try to have our podcast once a week. We took a hiatus, but we're back now.
Indeed.
We're back in action. So other than that, we will talk to you next week. You want to say goodbye, Clee?
Good day.
Adios.